Been looking at how that God has brought this young boy named Eli into the world. The reason why that he brought, it's not Eli but Samuel, why that he brought Samuel into the world, how he brought him into the world, his purpose for bringing Samuel into the world. And last week we looked at the reason why, and it was because of the wicked sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. Hophni and Phinehas were, the Bible says in verse number 12, sons of Belial. They did not know the Lord, and they didn't care anything for the sacrifices and for the work that they were supposed to be doing within the priesthood. Treated it very lightly, and they were affecting the rest of the nation of Israel. The rest of the people didn't even want to go down to the temple anymore because of the way that they treated the offering of the Lord. And so the Lord's about to do something about it. It's about to take them out of the picture. Hophni and Phinehas, Eli as well, he's going to take their lives. And so we're going to look at verses 18 to 21, and we're going to look at the growth of Samuel and Hannah's family. Growth. We're going to look at growing in the Lord. Growing in the Lord. Do you desire to grow in the Lord this morning? Or do you just want to stay the same? I hope that next year I've grown some since I did this upcoming year. I hope that I know the Lord a little bit better next year than I do this year. I hope that I've grown mature a little bit in the Lord, and so that's what we want to look at this morning. How are you and I going to grow in the Lord this morning? So before we read the scripture, let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings upon us. We thank you for our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, God, for the hope of heaven. We thank you that we don't have to sorrow as others sorrow whenever someone passes this earth that is saved. Lord, we're thankful for the hope that we have of heaven and for eternal life. And as the song says, where the soul never dies, where there is eternal bliss, where our God is waiting for us. Lord Jesus Christ is there. Righteousness is there. Everything that we love is there. And so we're thankful for that. And Lord, we're assembled here together this morning because of that, because of our Savior Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to say things that are needful and necessary. I pray that everyone have open hearts and open minds, receptive, Father. There's only one thing that we need, and that is you, God. Don't need me, we don't need anything else, but we just need you, Lord. And so we pray that you would open up hearts and eyes and ears this morning and just be with us and meet with us. We invite you and we implore you to meet with us, and we'll thank you for it. We love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter number 18, and this is just transitioning right into Samuel. We read about Hophni and Phinehas and what the problem was, but you notice the first word is but, so this is in contrast to what we just read. Verse number 18 says, "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year, and she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, 'The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord.' And they went unto their own home, and the Lord visited Hannah, so she conceived and bare three sons and two daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord." You know, there's a lot of things that you're probably going to lose in life as you go through life. You may not realize it whenever you're young or just growing up, or maybe you're in grade school or something like that. You don't come to the realization that you're going to lose over your lifespan. But when you start to get older, you start to notice that you're going to start losing some things. Things are going to start shrinking in your life, and you just lose things that you once had. I mean, if you're a man, you might start to lose your hair. If I had hair this morning and I didn't cut it all off, you'd probably see a big bald spot on the top of my head because I just started losing it. My hair started getting really thin. And I really don't care much about hair on my head anymore besides the stuff that's on my face. I can grow hair there, so that's fine. But you're going to start losing. You might. God might bless you with a big head of hair. You know, sometimes you might get envious of these guys who are 80 years old and they still got that big mane of hair. It's not even thin or anything like that. But a lot of times men start to lose their hair. You might lose your eyesight. There was 5 years ago, I didn't need glasses. My eyesight was fine. And I started reading and I started noticing things. My eyesight started getting dim. So you might start losing your eyesight. You might lose your memory. You can't remember as much as you used to. You might lose your children in the sense that, well, they're not in the house anymore. They moved out of the house and now you're empty nesters. And so your family has kind of shrunk. And for many years, you may have had all of those things, but you might start to lose some things. Well, in this passage here, we see some growth going on and we see some shrinking going on. I want you to notice those things. Now, Hannah and her husband and her family are going to start to grow. Hannah started out and she didn't have anything. And then she's going to start to grow. God's going to bless her with five more kids on top of the son that he already gave her, Samuel. And Eli and their sons are going to die. They're going away. They're not going to grow anymore. And so in contrast to that, Hannah and her son and her family are going to start to grow and they're going to start to flourish. And so God is putting one family down and he's raising up another family. And God has the right to do that. He's going to take the lives of the sons of Eli and also Eli himself. The Bible tells us that this was God's plan all along. He's going to do this for the abomination of the sons of Eli and what they had been doing there. Verse number 25 says that the Lord was going to slay them. The Lord is going to take the sons of Eli. He's going to kill them. He's going to take them out. And he has the right to do that. And Samuel's going to succeed. Samuel's coming up. Hannah's family is coming up. But Eli and his sons, they're going away. So God raises one man up, and he takes another one out, and God is in ultimate control of all things. We read that in the first few verses of Hannah's prayer. But God rules over all things. He is in ultimate control of all things. Psalm 75, verses 6 to 7, said, "For promotion comes neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is the judge. He putteth one down and sets up another." God is the one who is in control of all things. I hope that you and I have a desire to grow in the Lord, to get a little bit bigger in the Lord. I have that desire. I want to grow in the Lord. Just as the family of Hannah was growing numerically and Samuel was growing spiritually and he was getting stronger and he was growing in the Lord, you and I should have a desire to grow in the Lord. We don't want to shrink. We don't want to get smaller. We don't want to get weaker in the Lord. No, we want to grow in the Lord. And I hope that you all have that desire to grow in the Lord. We're told in the scriptures, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, how are we going to grow in the Lord? Is there something that needs to happen if you and I are going to grow in the Lord? I'm going to tell you about three events this morning that need to happen if you're going to grow in the Lord. The first thing is this, if you and I are going to grow in the Lord, we must spend time in the presence of the Lord. Now, it says in verse number 18, it says that Samuel, in contrast to the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, ministered before the Lord. He ministered before the Lord. In verse number 21, it says, "And the child Samuel grew before the Lord." He grew before the Lord. Now, We need to explain these things. In the tabernacle is where the presence of the Lord was at. When God gave instructions to erect this tabernacle in the wilderness, God said, that's where I'm going to meet you at. I'm going to meet you at this tabernacle. Exodus chapter number 35, verse number 22 tells us about this. God said, I'm going to meet you between the cherubims on top of the mercy seat. That's where my presence is going to be manifested. Now, God fills heaven and earth. He's everywhere. He's in heaven seated upon his throne right now. But he was going to manifest himself in the tabernacle. That's where his presence was going to be. And so that's where he dwelt. His presence in the Old Testament was right there in that building. You and I, we must spend time in the presence of the Lord. Now, every one of us, if you're saved here today, you've been born again, every one of you have the eternal presence of God abiding in you. All of us do. And God does not dwell in buildings like he did in the Old Testament. God is not here in this building unless his people are here. That's the only way that God abides here. But when we leave, God's presence is not going to be back there in the baptistry somewhere or some special place. God does not dwell in buildings, erections anymore. God does not do that. He does not dwell in buildings made with hands. Paul the Apostle wrote to the church at Corinth, and he says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and he dwells within you? So God dwelt, we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Our bodies are his temple, and he dwells there. His presence is with us all the time. But in the Old Testament, God dwelt in this tabernacle. And by the way, there was only one building that he ever dwelt in. And it was that tabernacle. He didn't dwell in any of these other pagan temples out there. It was only one. And by the way, he only dwells in certain people in the world. He doesn't dwell in everyone. He dwells in his church, his people, made up of Jew and Gentile believers. God dwells in his church. And so there is never a time where the presence of God is not with you. You always have the presence of God with you. When Jesus spoke to his disciples, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So your presence is always there. So in that sense, we always have the presence of the Lord. But there's another sense in which we must spend time in the presence of the Lord if we want to grow. If you and I want to spend time in the presence of the Lord, how do we do that? Well, we must spend time in his word. If you want to grow, spend time in his word. That's where the presence of God is. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 to 3 says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. As newborn babes. You know the first thing that a newborn babe wants to do when they come out of the womb? They want to eat. They're looking for that milk. They've got to have it, and they want to grow. It's natural. Natural thing for a baby to desire that milk. You know the first thing that a new Christian ought to want to do when they get saved? They ought to be looking for something. Boy, where's that word at? I want to hear some more of that word. Peter goes on to say in verse number 3, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, that you've already had that initial taste of the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, you're going to want some more. You're going to say, boy, that sure was good. I want some more of that stuff. Give me some more of that word. And so we can grow by spending time in the presence of the Lord in his word. You're going to want more of his word, not less of his word. We must delight and meditate on his word if we want to grow. Psalm chapter number 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight, he loves it. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Meditate. That means you mull it over. You think about it. Meditate day and night, for he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in a season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Planted, rooted, grounded
Not going anywhere. Why? Because of the Word of God. Spending time in the Word of God plants you and roots you. And you ain't going anywhere. It doesn't matter what the winds of society are going to bring. Doesn't matter what happens in the government. Doesn't matter what happens in society. He is not going to move because he's planted. And not only that, you'll bring forth fruit, be fruitful. And you're not going to wither. That sounds kind of like growth to me. So if you and I want to grow in the Lord, we must spend time in the Word of God. You must also spend time in prayer. If you want to spend time in the presence of the Lord, spend time in prayer. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know how you gain strength? Go to God in prayer. You know why there are so many weak and anemic Christians out there today? Because they don't ever go to God in prayer. And you know what they're doing? They're carrying around that big load of problems and that big load of pressure and that big load of something in their life, and they're not loading it off on the Lord and bringing their cares to him. But we have a rest as Christians, and that is our Lord. It says in the same chapter, Hebrews 4:9 says, "There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God." You know, if you go to God in prayer, you're going to find some rest and some help and some growth. But many Christians, they just don't grow because they don't go to God in prayer. So we spend time in prayer. That's how we spend time in the presence of the Lord. You must also spend time with his church, being with other believers. It's a place to grow. This place where the rest of the believers are at, that helps you to grow. And I hope that we grow spiritually as a people. I hope that we have made a place that is healthy for people to grow spiritually. And I hope that each and every one of our members endeavors to create a space, create a place where it's a place where we can grow together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, "Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another." You know how you can grow? Just come to church and be with God's people. You get encouraged. You get strengthened. You grow. But if you don't come to church and you don't grow and you don't get around God's people, you're not going to grow. Not going to be encouraged, and you can't encourage anybody else if you don't come to church. David said in Psalm 23, he says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I'm not going anywhere. You and I must spend time in the presence of the Lord. Not only that, we must also be visited by the Lord. Do you know that if you want to grow, God's going to have to pay you a visit? Now, Hannah here in verse number 21 got some more kids. She goes to the temple. Eli sees them there. By the way, they've been going year after year. They were supposed to. They get to the temple. Eli blesses Elkanah and Hannah. And they go back home. And the Bible says in verse number 21 that the Lord visited Hannah. You know what happened after the Lord visited Hannah? A lot of growth started happening. She had three more sons and two more daughters. Three sons and two daughters. Boy, you talk about some growth. Now, God did not have to give Hannah more children. God was not obligated in any way, shape, or form to give Hannah a child. He just did not have to do it. God graciously visited Hannah and gave her more kids. And there's Hannah and Elkanah. They go to the temple. They're not looking for three more sons and two more daughters. They're not trying to twist the arm of God and get him to give them a blessing. They're just doing the everyday mundane things that they've always done. And they get down to the temple, and their son Samuel is there, the one that God gave them. Remember that? And Hannah brings Samuel a coat. She's still taking care of Samuel, even though Samuel doesn't live at their home. She gives them a coat. She's taking care of what God has given to her. And they're still doing the everyday things. They're still going to the temple, still bringing the sacrifices, still doing all of those things. And they were still taking care of all of that, and they're just happy and content with what God has done thus far. They're not trying to get anything out of God. They don't have any ulterior motives. They're just content. And they weren't trying to beat God into submission. Look, Lord, we got to have these things. No, they were just obedient and content. But you know what God did? He paid him a visit. Came to him. And Hannah had 3 more sons and 2 more daughters. He didn't have to, but he did. Did you know that increase in your life depends upon the visitation of the Lord? Grace makes the difference. Grace makes the difference. Growth depends upon the Lord. And you and I are not going to grow unless God pays us a visit. God has to come. Has God paid you a visit? Do you count your blessings in your life? Do you think back about all the things that you have and all the things that God's blessed you with in your life, and you think back and say, oh, God did that. Your kids, your job, your health, your home, your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ, your life, the day today. Have you looked back and said, thank you, Lord. God's given me all this. I've been growing and growing and growing, and God has paid me a visit. But if God doesn't visit, there's not going to be any increase. But you know, many times we don't get a visitation from the Lord because God has already given us all that we need. We don't do much with it. We don't even acknowledge that God has given us the things in the past. We don't take care of the things that God has already given to us. You know, like Hannah, she's taking care of Samuel, giving him a coat, providing for his needs, still going to the temple to make sacrifices, still doing all of those things. She's taking care of it. You know, many times you and I, we don't get a visit from the Lord because we spend more time griping and complaining about the things that we have instead of thanking God for those things and acknowledging those things. Amen. It says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. How many times do you and I acknowledge God in all things? I must say I fail many times. I'm the one that's complaining, not thanking God for what he's given to me. And I don't make the most out of what he's already given me. So I would encourage you this morning, look, make the most of the things that God has given to you. And if God so decides and God so desires, he'll pay you a visit. And he'll give you more. But God is not obligated. You and I cannot twist the arm of God. I'll give you an illustration. Jesus Christ comes to the nation of Israel, manifests himself to his people. God manifests in the flesh. Most of the people in that nation did not pay much attention to him. As a matter of fact, they rejected him. Some did, most didn't. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 19, verse number 44, that you knew not the day of your visitation. You didn't even know it. God visited you, and you didn't even know it. You think, you know, I think many times that God visits us, and he does things for us, but we don't even acknowledge it. We don't even know it. Little things in life, we don't acknowledge it. We complain. You and I never grow in the Lord because of our attitude about his other visitations that he's already given to us. But growth depends on a visit from God. God has to visit. Number 3, this might throw you off a little bit, but growth depends upon your clothing. Growth depends on what you're wearing. I'm not talking about your outer clothing. That's not what I'm talking about. But in verse number 18, the Bible says that as Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Now, those are the holy vestments that the priest had to wear to minister before the Lord. Nobody's going and ministering before the Lord without a linen ephod. Yet had that special clothing. God designed it that way. He set it up that way in the Old Testament. Special clothing. And there's Samuel. I don't know how old he is. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, something like that. He's already got a linen ephod on. If you want to find out about what that is, study Exodus chapter number 28. It describes it. It had to be worn by all the priests.
No one's going before the Lord. No one's ministering before the Lord unless you have that linen ephod on. Samuel couldn't wear his own coat. Samuel's not going to go in there with his own clothing on. He couldn't wear the coat that his mother had made him. No matter how much sentimental value it may have had, no matter how special it might have been to him, no one's going in to stand before the Lord without that linen ephod on. You know, as New Testament Christians, God has a special priest class. Just like in the Old Testament, God has a special people. It's every saved believer. Every believer is a priest to the Lord. Now, they're not made out of the tribe of Levi. It's not exclusively male. Now, it is Jew and Gentile of every race, tongue, and nation, male and female, are all priests to the Lord. 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation." That is the church. And we can minister before the Lord. But God has given you a special clothing. And you can't minister before the Lord. You can't approach God without the special clothing. I'm not talking about the clothes on your back. So don't think, well, if I've got my nice suit on, then I can approach the Lord. Don't be confused in that way. It's not a physical garment. You know what it is? It's the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you can't approach God in your own righteousness. I don't care how special that you might think that you are, or I might think that I am. You can't approach God in your own righteousness. It must be the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And so now we can serve God without fear and without hesitation if you have the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But you know what happens many times? What happens many times is you and I, we get hung up on our own righteousness. We get hung up on how good we are, or what we're a part of, or where we are, and we get more concerned about what's on the outside than what's on the inside. And we think, well, I'm pretty special. I'm pretty special because I'm a good person, I'm clean, I'm moral, I'm all of these things. And you end up not growing, and you get hung up on yourself. And I get hung up on myself. Because we're so hung up on our own righteousness, and we forget that it is Jesus Christ who is our righteousness, and it's not us, and it's not on the outside, it's on the inside. It's what happened to the church at Corinth. Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and they got hung up on themselves. They got hung up on who baptized them. They got hung up on who led them to the Lord. They got hung up on what little clique that they were in. And they started arguing with themselves, and divisions happened. And Paul wrote to them, and he says, look, it's not about you. It's not about your strength. It's not about your weakness. It's about Jesus Christ. God chooses the weak things and the foolish things. You're only here because of God. That's why. And Jesus Christ is your righteousness, church at Corinth. Not you. Of Him are you in Christ. Of God are you in Christ. And Jesus Christ is our righteousness. And they weren't growing. As a matter of fact, Paul says, you're like babes in Christ. You're like a bunch of little kids. Because they're always looking at me. Me, me, me all the time. And it's His righteousness. But you could go off in the other ditch. You could say this. You could say, people don't come to God and serve God and grow because they think they're just too bad. They're just too horrible of a person, and I can't approach God. I can't say anything to Him. I can't minister before Him. I can't pray to Him because I'm too bad. I've met people like that before. They come to me and they say, well, I've done so many bad things in my life. I've done this, whatever it might be. I think, I just can't be close to God. I can't serve Him. But it's not about your righteousness. It's not about how bad you are or what your past is like or what you've done in the past. Amen. It's about Him. Amen. And you can approach God no matter how bad that you've been. What are you wearing? Whose righteousness are you wearing? It's all about Jesus Christ. It's not about your righteousness. And so you should put it on just like a robe. Many times we don't. So we ought to grow. We must grow. When should we start? When should we start growing? I would encourage each and every one of us to start growing right now. Now is the time. Samuel was ministering before the Lord, and the Bible says in verse number 18, being a child. He started when he was a little kid ministering before the Lord, serving the Lord. And he started growing then. So no matter what stage of life you're in, no matter when you're in your 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, senior citizen, grade school, teenager, whatever it might be, start growing right now. Start ministering right now. Start today. Maybe it's been your experience, you've neglected the presence of the Lord. You don't spend time in the Word of God. You don't pray. You don't come to church. Whatever it might be, start today. Start today. Start making those changes today. Start resting in Christ today, because you're never going to grow if you don't start today. It must be today. The Apostle Paul, as soon as he was saved, the Bible says that straightway he went out and preached Christ right away. So you and I ought to start today. Do you know Jesus Christ is your Savior? Have you been saved? Do you know the gospel? Are you trusting in the blood atonement of Jesus Christ for your salvation? Jesus Christ died for your sins. He was buried and he was resurrected again the third day. And he reigns in heaven right now, interceding for his church. And you cannot be saved apart from Jesus Christ. Are you saved? Are you saved? Let's pray.